This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Tyler and Shay here on ESPN 1000. Shay Norling has the day off down in New Orleans, having a good time down there. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. Don't forget, you can always check us out on YouTube as well. YouTube.com, search ESPN Chicago. Make sure to subscribe. You'll get all the latest videos and content from us right here at ESPN Chicago. It may be July, and I hope everyone had a nice 4th of July week. It's kind of nice when it falls on that Thursday, too. Feels like Friday's usually a light day, then you get right into the weekend. It almost feels like a 4-day week, or a 4-day weekend for you up there. But it may be July, but football's in the air. The Bears will be reporting to training camp in about 2 weeks from now. And you can kind of feel the momentum of football starting to grow. We are almost there for one of the more anticipated Bears seasons in recent memory. I think you look at what they had building up for 2019 as being the last big momentum building season that the Chicago Bears had. And I think this is one that surpasses that largely because of what's in play at quarterback and what's in play around the quarterback as well. So there was an article this week on PFF discussing the and ranking the secondaries across the NFL, and a lot of people unhappy with where the Bears landed. They slotted in at 19th, but it got me thinking a little bit about, all right, so how many units do I think the Bears have that slot inside the top 10 in all of football right now? If they were to lace them up tomorrow, get out to Soldier Field and play, how many units do I think that the Bears have that slot inside the top 10 right now? So I'm kind of scrambling through my mind. I go through quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs. How many currently sit inside the top 10 in all of football? And I was able to pull away with three. Three different groups that I see inside the top 10. And I'll give them to you in order as well. I think the wide receiver group of the Chicago Bears team is the strength of the entire, not just offense, but the entire team. You've got a future Hall of Famer in Keenan Allen. You've got DJ Moore, who's starting to establish himself as a top 10 receiver within football right now. And then you bring in a top 10 pick in Rome Odunze, who hasn't shown anything on an NFL field yet. You can look at all your training camp, little short vignette videos and all that stuff, but he has not shown or proven anything on an NFL field quite yet. However, if you look at the track record of wide receivers taken in the first round, and particularly inside the top 10, if you go back to about 2020, the hit rate is pretty good. I mean, you look at the four wide receivers taken in the first round last year, I would say three of them are hits right now, and one is still left to be determined. That's a pretty good rate right there. And then if you go the year before that and the year before that, like they are hitting at a pretty high rate right now, where I feel comfortable slotting Rome Odunze into that room and saying the Bears as a whole are looking at one of the three best groups of receivers in all of football. That's how good this group is. And Rome Odunze, for what he has not proven on an NFL field yet, I think is going, we talked a lot about how the quarterback was going into the best situation a rookie quarterback's ever gone into. I think Rome Odunze is going into one of the best wide receiver situations a young wide receiver has ever gone into. Because if you look at the room he's being dropped into, you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Both are no nonsense, no diva, hardworking guys that you're dropping a rookie wide receiver who, by all signals that we've seen early on, kind of fits that mold. It's a very selfless receiver room. Don't get me wrong, very competitive, but a very selfless receiver room. And I think bringing along a young guy like Rome Odunze is going to be critical, especially because I don't think Keenan Allen is here for the long haul with the Chicago Bears. Everything that we've seen with the wide receiver market blowing up, the way that maybe the cap might be a little hamstrung because of this Sunday ticket stuff moving forward too, everything to me is kind of signaling that Keenan Allen, it's a one-year project. They're going to kind of go for it this year with Keenan Allen, and then maybe you'll reevaluate at the end of the year. But Keenan Allen, a guy near the end of his career, albeit coming off of a career year, to me is still likely to seek another opportunity after the Chicago Bears. All right, so I think the Bears have a top three wide receiver unit in all of football, and I think it's the best unit on the team, bar none. My next unit that I'm going to go with here, the linebacking group. I think what we saw with Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards spearheading that group from a season ago, you were a unit that could take the ball away, and not to mention Jack Sanborn, who played his role very nicely. But both Edmonds and Edwards in their first years with the Bears, I thought put together a really, really strong start to kind of building this defense into what it could be. And I think that when you look at Edwards playing at the level that he did, he severely overperformed the deal that he got. And then Edmonds, he was the first really big ticket signing that Ryan Poles made to not turn this team into a contender, but start to build the foundation of what they wanted to be defensively. And it was really the first signal of moves too, of this is what our defensive identity is going to be from a physique standpoint. You know, Tremaine Edmonds, that long, lanky, tall linebacker, and he's a guy that can get in passing lanes. We saw him intercept the football last year, and he's just kind of all over the place. And I think that what the Bears have built in the linebacking room, I'm not going to say it's one of these all-time greats in terms of these linebacking groups that the Bears have had, because they've had some of the best that we've ever seen in football. But this group right now is playing at a playoff level. When you combine the star power and talent of Edmonds with a guy who fits his role really well in Jack Sanborn, and then you've got TJ Edwards, who just kind of fills in all the missing pieces of what the defense needed at times last year, intercepting the ball, falling and forcing fumbles, making big tackles, pass coverage, all that stuff. I think that linebacking group was stellar last year. And that was a big reason why, is because it felt like all the pieces fit together and it felt like it fit accordingly with what Matt Eberflus wanted to do defensively. So I've got the Bears linebackers as being one of the five best linebacking groups in all of football. PFF also did their rankings on the linebackers as well. They slotted the Chicago Bears at third overall in football. So you could say, oh, disrespect here in the secondary, whatever, but PFF did give them their props and their flowers with where they slotted them at the linebacker position, ranking them third overall in football. All right, and then this is my last group that I think sits inside the top 10 for the Chicago Bears, and that is the defensive backs. So albeit PFF not giving them the props that they deserve, I will give them those props. I think that the Bears' defensive secondary is one of the best in all of football. You look at the big playability that we saw arise from Jalen Johnson last season. Now, he's going to have to continue to stack seasons after getting that big deal in the offseason, stack seasons in the interception category, because that's something that was lacking his first couple of years in the league. But last year, he went out and made a splash, and he was rewarded handsomely for it with a new contract that he had been seeking. I think on top of that, too, the development of Tyrique Stevenson, and this is partially why I think the Bears slotted as low as they did, because the last couple of years, what we've seen opposing offenses do to the Chicago Bears defense is target and pick on their young defensive backs. And they've had a lot of these young defensive backs over the last couple of years. Tyrique Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, they've been targeted early and often throughout their careers. And I think that's why you've seen a lot of these numbers and stuff look very favorable for a Jalen Johnson, because I don't think he's been targeted as frequently because opposing teams have gone after these young cornerbacks. And you look at the way that the league is now, where every team has a really good second wide receiver, it's always easy to find a way to match him up onto a rookie DB. And that's exactly what we've seen teams do the last couple of years. So Tyreek Stevenson got picked on a lot last year. A lot of penalties in the early going with him. But you could tell he never backed down from the challenge, kept at it. And I think by the back half of the year, we saw an up-and-coming cornerback in the league in Tyreek Stevenson. He was one of those guys who was growing into his role, and teams couldn't pick on him anymore. He went out and made a name for himself towards the back end of last year. And I think he only continues to grow here in year number two for him. Kyler Gordon, I think we saw a lot of the same. Early in his rookie season 2 years ago, he was the guy that was targeted by a lot of opposing offenses. And as things continued to grow and develop, he started to get a little bit better, play a little more physical, more pass breakups, make more game-breaking plays. He was very good tackling in space, I thought, as well. And Jaquan Brisker from the safety spot, that's a guy who has continued to grow in his role. Now, he's got to stay on the field. It feels like every single game we see Jaquan Brisker coming off for a couple of plays, but Jaquan Brisker is a guy that I think is starting to become one of the better safeties in football. And then you bring in an experienced veteran, Kevin Byard, who the numbers weren't great for him last year, especially once he went to Philly. But we know that Philly was a disaster last year, especially towards the end of the season when everything was falling off the rails. They're changing defensive play callers left and right. They're bringing in new personnel. It seemed like the group really didn't like each other all that much either. But now I think you put Kevin Byard in this situation, defensive-minded head coach, a guy who was a very good play caller, it seemed like, last season, and Matt Eberflus controlling the defensive side of the ball. I think everything that Kevin Byard's being dropped into, and he's going to be the leader of that group too. Former All-Pro, guy with skins on the walls. I think dropping him into this situation to kind of solidify this group, be that missing piece after letting Eddie Jackson walk, I think all of it is going to be a good thing for the Chicago Bears. And that's why I think the defensive backs are a top 10 group. Now, there's a couple others that I think are knocking on the door of the top 10, but not quite there yet. And I look at two in particular. The tight end room, I think, is right there. I think Cole Kmet is a really solid tight end, and I think Gerald Everett is about as good as it gets from a backup standpoint at the tight end room. However, I want to see what it all looks like when you're trying to feed all the mouths, especially with a rookie quarterback. When you're trying to feed all the mouths across the offense with wide receivers, mention the three there, you bring in a pass-catching running back as well in DeAndre Swift, the tight end's still going to be a critical part. Inside the red zone, we'll see how much that factors, because we know that's where Cole Kmet did a lot of really good work. And Gerald Everett is one of those tight ends who kind of can play for the full 80 yards for you. Remember in the past, the Bears have had some guys like a Jimmy Graham, or they even have now Mercedes Lewis, guys who are really most valuable inside the red zone. And I think Gerald Everett is kind of the opposite of that, where he is someone who he's going to make guys miss in space and is just a kind of a wide receiver in a tight end's body, where physically, he doesn't have the tools to be a receiver, but he can slot into this tight end spot and make a lot of guys miss. So I think the tight ends are knocking on the door of being inside the top 10. And then, I guess it's a singular player, but it constitutes a full unit, is quarterback. I think the Bears are going to have one of the top half quarterbacks this season. Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick and has been regarded as the number one overall pick for, it feels like, 2 years at this point. And everything that was talked about with Caleb and how he's going to slot right into the NFL and be able to thrive right away, I think is going to be true, especially given the situation that he's being dropped into. He's got good pass catchers. He's got a good running back room to rely on. He's got a good group of tight ends. The offensive line needs a little bit of work, I think. But for me, I think the situation is too good for us to look at Caleb Williams and be underwhelmed at the end of the year. I really do. I think he's going to go over his totals. Obviously, health dependent, but I think he goes over his totals in touchdowns and passing yards, all that stuff. I mean, the numbers that we saw early, and I think a lot of them have tracked upwards ever since they've been released on whatever site you may be using. But it started at around 3,350, I want to say, and I think it's grown as high as 35, maybe even 3,600 at this point. Touchdowns, I think, are up to 21.5 now. It opened, I want to say, around 19.5. I think he goes over a lot of those, and maybe some of them even pretty comfortably, too. And we don't see rookie quarterbacks usually surpass their totals in touchdowns and passing yards from a Vegas standpoint. We usually don't see them go over their totals there. But I think this could be different because of the situation you're being dropped into. Because if you think about it, a number one overall pick usually doesn't have this supporting cast. And frankly, never has this supporting cast with the pass catchers, the running backs, and the potential of an offensive line. Never has this level of support. And the guys that do have rosters that are good enough, or maybe even at the caliber that the Bears are dropping Caleb Williams into, usually don't have the playing time to offer to those quarterbacks. And that's why you see those numbers drop a little bit lower. So those are the groups that I think are top 10 and then top half of the league there. And if you want to join us, 312-332-3776, how many units across the Chicago Bears do you think sit within the top 10 in all of football? And which units are you most excited to see for this season as well? 312-332-3776. Real quick, I'll go through the groups that I think sit in the back end right now for the Chicago Bears. I think the running backs have potential. Again, I'm not always going to get super worked up about having a bad group of running backs. A lot of it is contingent on how good your offensive line is. Now, I will say, I do think the offensive line also sits in this back end right here. That's a group that PFF thought was top 15. They slotted them at 11. But I see it the other way. I think you've got pieces that need to be developed on the right side with Darnell Wright playing another season of football. I was very impressed with what I saw out of him. He seems like a mauler, big dude. I mean, we see tackles thrive on the right side as well. Look at Penei Sewell in Detroit. He's arguably the best tackle in all of football, and he does it on the right side there. So I think Darnell Wright off to a very promising start to his young NFL career. But there's a lot of question marks right now. Pretty much, I think you've got one solidified piece on your offensive line, and then to his left, you've got four guys that all have significant question marks to them. Tevin Jenkins in your left guard spot. What's his health status going to be like? He's a guy that's entering a contract year here. Are the Bears going to invest significant capital to keep Tevin Jenkins around in a market that is exploding? The guard market had guys that signed for over $100 million last offseason. So what's Tevin Jenkins going to look like? And can he be a guy that you can depend on to be among that starting five every single week? The center, we don't know who it's going to be yet. Coleman Shelton, Ryan Bates, seems like that's going to be one of the more intriguing camp battles there. And then right guard, it's kind of the same thing as left guard with Tevin Jenkins, but what is the availability game in and game out for Nate Davis? It's one of those signings from Ryan Poles that leaves you scratching your head a little bit because the performance has been there at times, but it also feels like there's a lot more meat on that bone that could be chewed off. And then the left tackle with Braxton Jones, he's going to be extension eligible at the end of this season. I think what you've gotten out of Braxton Jones is very promising. You don't oftentimes find fifth round tackles that could be your cornerstones for the future, but we don't know if Braxton Jones is the cornerstone tackle for the future for this team. So 312-332-3776. How many groups do you think sit within the top 10 on this team? I've got wide receiver, defensive back, and linebacker. Some people maybe want to sneak tight end in there. Maybe you're really bullish on Caleb Williams. And another group I have on the back end is defensive line as well. I think there is still work to be addressed in the trenches on both sides for the Chicago Bears as they round out their offseason. They head to training camp about 2 weeks. And don't forget, the Hall of Fame game about a month away, a little less than a month away. So the Bears will be on the field in Canton a little less than a month from now. But we want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Talk football with us, Tyler Rocky, here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Talking Bears with you here on ESPN 1000, Tyler Rocky. No Shay Norling this morning. We're with you till 9 o'clock. Get to a little bit of Bulls as well, and I've got a little Cubs nugget I want to pass along too. And Potsy's got to recap his big Six Flags venture from last week. So we'll do all that here in the final 35 minutes. But first, let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. I asked, how many units do the Bears have that sit in the top 10 in all football? I listed out three. I think the receivers, the linebackers, and the defensive backs are all a part of top 10 units in all of football. Everyone else outside looking in right now. Anthony's in Schaumburg. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how's it going? I agree with what you said about the top three, but I have a question for you. What do you think it's possible that all three receivers that we have get 1,000 yards this year?
Thanks for the call, Anthony. Yeah, go ahead.
And would that be a first?
I'd have to do a little number crunching to see if that's the first time that a team has had 3,000-yard receivers. But here's what I'll say about the premise of it here. I think you have two. I do. I think you have two in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Now, Keenan Allen, we know health can be an issue for him at times, but he's shown time and time again that he is a 1,000-yard receiver. He's done it countless times throughout his career. He did it last year. He's coming off a career high with 1,243. So he's a guy who's done it six times in his NFL career, his very illustrious NFL career. And I think he's, as long as the health is good enough, listen, I'm not penning him in for 17 games this year. I think he'll probably play somewhere between 13 to 15. But if he can be around 15 games, I think he can get to that 1,000-yard mark this year. DJ Moore, I think he is Mr. Dependable. You don't pencil guys in for 17 games, but he feels like one of these surer things because he's just a grinder. He's a tough SOB. Like, he is going to run through you, and he's going to be the guy coming up on top of a lot of those collisions there. So DJ Moore, I think, is a 1,000-yard guy. Keenan Allen, I think, is a 1,000-yard guy. How do you split up the rest of the pie here? Because, all right, there's also the mouth to feed of Rome Odunze. I think he's got 1,000-yard potential. I just don't think it's this year. And 1,000 yards is, in this era of football now, where we see quarterbacks throwing for 4,500 yards, it's pretty easy to split up another 1,500 yards or so, even 1,000 yards between a tight end and then your fourth, fifth, sixth receivers and running backs too. I think it's doable in this era of football. But in terms of getting three guys to 1,000, I don't think it's going to happen this year.
It has only happened five times ever. The latest, I believe, was 2008, the Cardinals.
So that is Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and who's the third one there?
I'll check it out.
All right, we'll get you the rest of those numbers. So it's only happened five times.
Stevie Breston.
All right. It's only happened five times, and it has not happened since 2008. So over 15 years ago. So it's going to be tough to do, Anthony. But it's something that I think with a rookie quarterback, like, let's call it what it is conservatively. Let's say very conservatively, the Bears offense as a whole throws for 4,000 yards this year. All right. So if I'm giving at least 1,000, and it's probably closer to 1,100 for guys like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, if I'm giving, let's say, 2,200 yards to them, I've got 1,800 yards left to work with for Cole Kmet, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, And then guys like Velus Jones and Tyler Scott, who, all right, you can call it what it is, but there's still guys that are going to pick off little bits of yardage here and there. Like, it's just the way it works. I mean, you look at Khalil Herbert, he had 134 yards last year. Tyler Scott had 168. Like, it starts to add up. Roshan Johnson had 209. It starts to add up at a certain point. And you figure, okay, DeAndre Swift, he's a pass-catching back. Probably has around 400 or 500 receiving yards this year, if that's what the Bears want to utilize him, especially with a rookie quarterback who is going to rely on his running back at times to be there for some checkdowns. So I think that it's something that you have to take into consideration. You can bash guys like Velus Jones or Tyler Scott all you want, but there's yardage to be taken and stuff to be chunked off too. And you bring in Dante Pettis again. So there's little bits and pieces that get taken away that eat into that third 1,000-yard receiver. That's why I don't think it's going to happen with the Chicago Bears. All right, Potsy, you've got units that you think are inside the top 10 here. Who else do you think? Anyone else that I missed?
Yeah, so I got to go with the special teams, Aki. I'm going with the special teams here.
All-around special teams, so you're talking...
All-around punting, kicking, and I guess
return too
as well. I mean, Santos, he was fifth in the NFL in kicker points. Mm-hmm. We got a punter prodigy, apparently. And we'll see on the whole return game, you know, rules changing. We'll probably have Velus there. I saw Rome might be taking some kick returns. Yeah, I don't know about that, but we'll see there. But in terms of kicking and punting, dude, you got to mention it. Special teams, we definitely are top 10 there. I would even say maybe top 5. We could see, but I got special teams as well. And I just want to pedal back on the whole running back room there. Mm-hmm. There's no really stars there, but it's a deep running back room. And I wouldn't say top 10. I'm not going to go there. But in terms of just depth going on, Khalil Herbert is our third string running back. I feel really confident there. So just having the bodies in the RB room, I really like that as well. And quarterback, it's just going to be interesting, man, with Caleb. It's going to be so interesting to see where he falls. Is he even a star to start the year? I mean, it could be one of those things. So Caleb Williams, it's going to be the eyes on the quarterback for top 10. So that as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, microscope's definitely going to be there. It will. As for the running backs, like, they don't have a star. I don't even think they have, like, a fringe star. I don't see Pro Bowl potential in that room anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. Like, their third guy is going to be better than almost every single third guy across the league. It's just how much does that third guy truly matter?
Sure,
it's a room that gets dinged up quite a bit. You're going to see a lot of these guys miss some time. We saw it last year. We saw Deontay Foreman battle some injuries. Khalil Herbert battle some injuries. Roshan Johnson had the concussion issue last year. It's going to be one of those things where you're going to have to see next man up a lot of times in that room. And I think that this team is equipped to handle that quite nicely. But it's still going to take a little bit of time for one of them to really emerge, because I don't think there is that star in that room. 312-332-3776. Would love to still talk some football with you out there. Also, want to get to some Bulls stuff, because DeMar DeRozan could be headed west, but it may not be the team you think it is. All that coming up next here. Tyler Rocky with you on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Look at this. No Shay Norling today. We've got Shay in Homewood. What's up, Shay?
Hey, I got to tell you, man, we want to win so badly, and I'm a Bears fan to the end, but I tell you, he is still a rookie. And I just, you know, sometimes we're so excited and we're geared up. I just fear that, man, if he hits a bad stretch, I just hope we don't crucify him. There is a learning curve for every rookie. I don't care how accomplished he is in college. It is a different beast in the NFL. They are coming to eat. And I just want all the Bear fans to be mindful of that. And then the other question is, did we do enough to really solidify the backup? Because he's only one hit away from being out for 4 or 5 games. I mean, are we okay with I think it's Bajent.
Yeah,
are we okay with that, or should I mean, are we okay with that? I mean, we anticipate 10 wins, some even 11 wins. But let's assume, you know, he's out for 4 or 5 games, which is you know, that could happen.
For sure.
Did we do enough to solidify the backup, though? I mean, Pageant is, he's relatively young, he's experienced. He has an upside, but to me it looks like we should really pay a backup guy, you know? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good question there, Shay, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. I do think that the Bears should have probably done a little bit more to solidify the backup quarterback, because you're right, you are only one hit away from missing time in this league. And especially when you haven't done as much to solidify your offensive line, I think it's fine. I don't think it's anything special. But I think that's something that if Caleb Williams, God forbid, were to go down for a couple of weeks or even a week, are you confident in Tyson Bagent to at least steady the ship? And I think, sure, Ryan Tannehill's out there. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be a guy who's going to come into this team at any point. I don't see it happening. Barring we see Caleb Williams, again, God forbid, go down for significant time. I think Tannehill wants to do more of the what we saw out of Joe Flacco last year. He may be willing to sit this thing all the way to like week 7 and then hop off of his couch and then drop himself into a system. I think that's what he's going to be doing, and he's the best name out there. That's the thing, though, is at this point, what really great quarterback are you going to find as a backup? Even by backup standards, like, you're not going to find guys ranked 33 through 40 out there right now.
You got Tannehill? Tannehill's still there?
Yeah, but I just think that Tannehill's probably going to wait this out because he wants to start.
Yeah, he definitely wants to start.
So who is going to be out there that you say to yourself you're going to feel really good about in the backup quarterback? And don't get me wrong, I wish they did a little bit more. I think that a name that would have been good for what the Bears were looking at right now and kind of the situation they're in is Drew Lock. But that's off the board at this point. I believe he signed with the Giants. That's out of the cards at this point. But that would have been a guy familiar with Waldron's offense because he was in it last year. It would have felt like a pretty natural fit to bring him in to be the backup, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be something that happens here. So, all right, the other thing that caught my eye from earlier this week, I guess really yesterday, 2 days ago, was the report from Woj, and it had been reported as well by Mark Spears has been pretty on top of the entire DeRozan beat for the last couple of years. He was the first one linking interest between DeRozan and the Bulls back in 2021 in NBA free agency. But he threw it out there that don't sleep on the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, as being a sleeper team to go out and get DeRozan. And then we hear a report from Woj yesterday saying that the Kings seem like the team and the fit for DeRozan right now, and that a deal could come together in the next day or so with DeMar DeRozan and the Chicago Bulls. Now, the way that they're trying to get this done is via the sign and trade. And the Bulls don't want to take on any significant contracts. So that tells me a couple things here. All right. First of all, I do not see a Zach LaVine trade happening as a result of that. If you don't want to take on significant, even if it's expiring deals, if you don't want to take on significant money coming back your way for one season, that tells me Zach LaVine's probably going to be on your books most of, if not the entire season. He's just that untradeable of an asset right now. And if you're going to need a third team to facilitate a Zach or a DeMar DeRozan sign and trade, then this thing has gotten so woefully out of hand as a Bulls fan that there really is no hope for the near future. I kind of look at everything that the Bulls have done so far this offseason is building for the future. They have thrown in the towel on competing for next year. And in my opinion, that's the right thing to do. Bringing back DeMar DeRozan served zero purpose. Bringing back Alex Caruso served zero purpose. They don't fit your timeline. And when you're in this treadmill of stuck right now, where you just keep on spinning and keep on spinning and keep on spitting out 39, 40, 42 win seasons, you're not going anywhere with that team in this era of basketball, especially when you do not have one of the top 10, 15 players in the league. You don't even have anyone who's really quite close to that either. So you got younger with Josh Giddey. You got younger with Matas Bezelis. You got younger by signing Jalen Smith. All fine additions. Nothing that's grabbing a headline. You're getting younger. And I think that also signals that you're going to be doing everything in your power to keep your pick for next season, which is right now top 10 protected. That means if they finish 11th or outside or better than that, 11th through 30th, that pick's going to San Antonio as a part of the last piece of the trade, the signing trade that you initially facilitated for DeMar DeRozan. And if you want to give that San Antonio team more draft capital, boy, they could be a scary team one day. But right now, where the Bulls sit, it is this extremely stuck position. And moving on from DeMar DeRozan now all of a sudden seems more complicated than anticipated. Because if you're going to have to involve a third team on a sign and trade, it's just nothing goes right. Nothing goes right for this team. Everything that they built up, it looked like may have been trending in the right direction when AK initially built the team, brought in DeRozan, brought in Caruso, brought in Lonzo. But it also feels like the faucet's turned off up there. It feels like you got your big ticket signing being that an extension for Zach LaVine, a max deal for a guy who's not a max player. Sorry, but the truth of the matter is you go across the league, each team probably has two or three guys that can get you 25 a night if they really tried to. And for me, seeing LaVine be the giant roadblock in this team's ability to have success right now is frustrating, because it feels like this team will never be in a competitive window with Zach LaVine on the roster. And he still has three more years left on his deal. So you're telling me, by my math, this team's not going to be competitive for 3 years? Because that's the way it's trending right now. If this team continues to find ways to put itself in a ditch, and this is no different, they're still going to be stuck in this treadmill of mediocrity. And hopefully next year we see the results turn the other way, where they are bad. Because that is the only hope right now, is that they are bad. And you can find your way out of some of these deals. And everything turns based off of what you can do in next year's draft. Because next year's supposed to be a pretty good draft. Supposed to be one of the better ones that we've seen in recent memory. So after picking 11th in what was regarded as one of the worst drafts, if not the single worst draft in NBA history, if you can somehow strike gold in next year's lottery, that may be your only hope to get out of the sewer that you find yourself in right now. All right. When we come back, little quick Cubs note I want to pass along. And then, on top of that, Potsy and the Six Flag experience from a week ago. We'll do all that when we come back. This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler Aki here, solo with you till 9 o'clock.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thanks to Potsy for producing today's show, Justin Pottinger. We'll get to his Six Flags excursion in just a little bit. But first, the Cubs are going for three straight victories. You know the last time the Chicago Cubs won three games in a row?
Please don't tell me it was last season. No, May.
It wasn't.
May.
It was the stretch from April 23rd to 26th.
Oh, no.
So think about that time frame there. The last time, the start of the last Cubs three-game winning streak was before Caleb Williams was even drafted by the Bears.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
They're going to go for three straight today after they won the finale against the Phillies and then won the opener against the Angels. And I'm just at the point now with the Cubs, I don't even want the win 10 of 12. Sell me a little false hope. And then, all right, we're gonna cautiously buy at the deadline. I don't even want that this year. I don't. All right, Potsy, how was Six Flags last week? For everyone who missed it, last week around this time, we were talking about Potsy, and you had a Six Flags excursion set
this
up.
This is true.
And we were like debating if you were too old to go to Six Flags. So you're 24?
Yeah, 24. 24. Did not want to go.
Mm-hmm. And I'm with you. Shay was like, no, go, roller coasters, fun time, go, go, go. And you and I were, or you were like hesitant. You didn't seem thrilled about it.
I needed to get mentally prepared for it. And you guys kind of helped me there.
And I said, dude, you're too old.
Yeah.
You're too old for Six Flags. So how was it?
We didn't go, Tyler. I wish I had a story to tell. No, we didn't.
Why didn't you go?
Dude, everyone was too hungover. So the plan was is that we were all going to group up together after I had work. So I got off at 11 a.m. Nobody texted until 1 p.m. I'm just sitting there silent. My roommate's passed out. And my roommate's the guy
who, was he supposed to go too?
It was like his thing.
Baby.
Dude, he was trying to make the whole plan together, and I didn't wake him up, didn't care, didn't want to wake him up. He woke up at 1 p.m., and he's like, first thing he said to me, he's like, oh, it looks like Six Flags is off. So I dodged the biggest bullet. Dude, we'll probably end up going, but
that is why you're too old to go to Six Flags.
Exactly.
Is because a little hangover is keeping you from getting up to Gurnee.
And that's what I tried to explain to these guys. Like, you can't just wake up in the morning and go to Six Flags.
No, you can't just rip Six Flags.
You can't just rip it.
It is a process.
You can't raw dog Six Flags.
No, you can't.
No raw dog in there. You got a whole day plan 24 hours before. You got to mentally be prepared. You got to probably get down there at 11 a.m., 12 o'clock.
You got to be in the gates first thing. Now, here's why you're too old for it, is because when you were a kid, right, and going to Six Flags, you knew you were going to Six Flags, all right?
Like, loved it, too.
It was the best. Right? Best thing. Best summer activity you could find. It was Six Flags with the boys. I could have the damn stomach flu. I would find my way onto Raging Bull.
Sure.
I could be on my deathbed as a 12-year-old. I was still making it to Six Flags.
I'll be American Eagle every day.
I was gonna find a way to get on the Viper.
Sure.
That is why a hangover getting in between you and Six Flags is why you're too old. You're washed up. You're out of service time at Six Flags.
Dodged such a bullet, man.
You should not be going back to Six Flags until you're with kids.
Exactly.
Until you have kids.
I feel the same
way. Or little cousins or something in town, nieces, nephews, whatever. That's the next time you should go to Six Flags. You're too old.
I'm with you there. I'm sorry, Shay. I know you were big. You really wanted me to go. You were looking forward to hearing my experience.
Go. Ride roller coasters. Have fun. Have a good time.
Why are you going to be grumpy? Well, dodged the bullet there, baby.
Yeah, you did. Because whatever was wrong in your life.
I hit the pool instead. Went to the beach
a little bit.
There
you go. That's better.
I had a day.
Be an adult.
I had a day.
There you go.
Caught some
pool
rays.
And beach.
Yeah.
Stand outside. Get some sun.
Didn't need to go to Six Flags. Didn't need to take a picture with Bugs Bunny. Didn't need to do any of that.
No. You're not playing carnival games. You're not trying to throw the little ring on the bottle and stuff like that.
Losing 15 bucks trying to get a little stuffed animal.
Swing the big hammer. Let the thing go whoop.
Don't need to do that. Waiting in lines for hours.
Oh, my God. And you were going on a Saturday. It's a summer Saturday.
We would have flash passed it for sure.
And that's going to run you what? How much are flash passes these days?
It was $50 to get in. If you want to do flash pass, it was like $150. So
$150 total.
An extra $100. Okay. Extra $100, basically.
So you're paying double admission to jump lines. And that's the thing is, too. All right, you get the flash pass.
I was so broke too. Like I was so broke. Like I couldn't do the flash pass. All
so
my
instead
buddies
you went to the beach
to
for free.
Went to the
hung
beach
out
for
at the
free.
Pool. There you go.
Caught See, some rays.
Be resourceful there. Like the flash pass is a good concept until everybody does the flash pass.
Right? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, and what's then, the difference here, really?
Like I don't know if they cap that. I can't imagine that they do because that's just free money for them.
I think they give them out if you got like a broken leg. So I told my buddy get a boot on. Throw
a boot on
your foot. Yeah, yeah. Just.
But it, would you know, he was he going to do it?
Nah, probably not.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why you're too old. If you're not willing
too
to finesse
to
the system for Six Flags, you can't go. You can't go. You're too old. All right. That's going to do it for us here. We'll talk to you next week, 8 a.m. here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.